Thank you so much for joining us over the phone, Ambassador Kroll. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you.
So, Ambassador Kroll, considering the fact that you seemed to be thoroughly enjoying your tenure in Uzbekistan, how sad are you about leaving the country?
Well, you know, I haven't left the country, and so I'm very happy to still be serving here as ambassador in Tashkent. I'm enjoying, as always, the sun and the and of course the people here. I don't know if you received or heard my remarks that I made on our American 4th of July celebration, but I meant every word of it, of how much I have learned about and appreciate Uzbekistan and its people and its culture. And I just continue to enjoy it, especially the people. As I said in my remarks, it is hard to leave, I find, any country in which I serve, but I will particularly be sorry to leave Uzbekistan, because I just have such a the people have touched me in such a way to my heart and my soul.
Are you going to participate in the Independence Day celebrations?
Yes, I believe on Sunday, the 31st, there will be the official celebration in Tashkent. And then I think through the weekend there will be, of course, other celebrations in the city, in my neighbor, in my mahalla, as well as at our embassy here.
Well, Ambassador Kroll, when people think of ambassadors, they assume it's a powerful post, which also comes with a lot of glamour and privilege. How powerful is it really? What can you do and what you can't do as an ambassador? What it is really like?
Well, to be an ambassador is to be an interface, and that is that I need to explain to the people and the government of Uzbekistan not only the positions of the government of the United States, but also what are the values, what are the traditions, the culture of the United States in all of its diversity, and also that I need to explain as best I can to my government the policies of Uzbekistan, as well as an understanding of the people and the culture and how they look at the world. Because when I report back to my colleagues in Washington, they expect me to be able to give them a clear sense of what the situation is like here, as well as what the people and the culture, to understand both, as do the Uzbek government and people want to hear from me, as to explain what is the American views, the American policies, and our own culture. And I'd say that the power is really one of trying to influence people's opinion in a way that will have a constructive a friendly, constructive relationship between our two governments, as well as our two peoples, so that we understand each other better as we try to work together on certain elements. So that is, it's we call it, I guess, soft power, in the sense of being able to understand through the powers of understanding the positions of each other.
Well, your period in Tashkent, Ambassador Kroll, will probably be remembered for two words you have used regularly: dialogue and progress. What do these words really mean?
Well, the dialogue, as I said, can be reflected in what I just mentioned, and that is, the ability to speak with people so that they understand what I'm saying, and that I can understand what they're saying. again, whether we say it, can speak in Uzbek or in English or any other language, it's important to understand each other and to listen to each other. And that is what I try as a diplomat to do, and why the word dialogue, you know, means it's two-way conversation. It's not simply talking at someone. It's talking with someone. It's listening as well as speaking. And progress, I'd say, is related to that in the sense that if anything that I could do, and that will only be known long after I've left here, is that has that discussion led to greater understanding between our two countries and our peoples, so that the result of that is a relationship that is, as I said, friendly, and that we help each other when we have to face the same sorts of challenges in this world. It doesn't mean that we'll agree with each other all the time, because there are differences of opinion and approach, but that we try to find the common ground of how we can work together instead of against one another. And that I think is the matter, that if that can be achieved, that is a form of progress.
Would you say that that's been the biggest challenge for you, the challenge that you faced in Tashkent? I know you're usually very optimistic and positive about things, but we know that it is a tough relationship, the relationship between Uzbekistan and the United States.
Yes. Well, there's also, I would say, not before, that, you know, as a diplomat, you know, what we say publicly, and then what we say in our confidential conversations, which we are certainly a part of the relationship that we have, is that when we speak to each other in confidence, then we can be very frank with each other and say things and talk about the problems that we face, and discuss that in ways that are, we hope to find a constructive way. But publicly, we want to show that we are trying to work in a positive direction on many issues that we know concern both our countries, but particularly the United States. And it's a matter of finding that that way of having and building up the trust that you can have, with people here in Uzbekistan, as well as people back in my own government, so that we can try to, again, recognize issues that where we may have disagreements and try to work on them together. I mean, we're all human beings, and we all know in relationships that we have with one another, whether it's in a family or in a government, that how we talk to each other and get along with each other matters, and that is the, as I would say, is the art of diplomacy, which is how to try to influence people so that we see that it's in both our interests. And that's rarely, in my experience, is accomplished through confrontation, either verbally or in other forms. Diplomats are always called upon to try to resolve, difficult problems in ways that do not cause great offense to other people. That's what, when we say being diplomatic in a relationship or anything too. And so that's what our job is, that's what our profession is to try to find the right way that we can build trust so that we can then work on the various issues that we have to deal with, whether it be between governments and between the peoples of our country.
You are a Korea diplomat, Ambassador Kroll. We know that you have over 30 years of experience. You have served in Belarus and now in Uzbekistan, and now you're heading to Kazakhstan. You do have a very realistic view of the world, of what's possible and what's not. What lessons are you bringing with you to Kazakhstan, particularly those related to advancing human rights and democracy in this region?
On that, before, I have to say that, you know, I have not been confirmed yet by the Senate of the United States for my nomination to go to Kazakhstan. I hope that the Senate will vote positively on the president's nomination of me, and I would look forward to serving in Kazakhstan. Just as I remain ambassador to Uzbekistan. And I'd say, the approach that I just outlined to you before is the approach I take to any country where I am. You know, these issues, as discussing human rights, things like the labor situation, cotton harvest, these issues that those also of people who have been imprisoned, I view frankly and continuously with the authorities in all the countries where I have served, where these have been issues. As I told the United States Senate, that the key is to be consistent and persistent and to keep pressing in all ways in the discussions that I have to point out about how these particular issues and how they could be addressed in a way that they would not be a problem in the relationship between the United States and in the country in which I am serving. So that's really the approach I would take if I am confirmed to Kazakhstan, and that is, to build up the trust and relation in the relationship with the people as well as the government of the country that in which I would be serving.
Uzbekistan is expected to have parliamentary and presidential elections in the coming months. This is obviously a very important moment for the country. How would you advise your successor to approach these events?
Well, I certainly, as I may still be ambassador here, come on, depending upon the Senate's vote, either for myself or my successor. So I think, as I would anywhere, approach these is that we of course, follow these the elections. We are talking with people in the parliament. I met with the chairman and deputy chairman of the Central Election Committee a short while ago to discuss what plans and the preparations for these elections. I've talked to members of civil society, independent civil society who are following this in order to understand how these elections will take place. We are told that they will be a new type of step in, as the Uzbek government says, of deepening the democratization of Uzbekistan, and we shall see. And we are offering, well, we've discussed or we, are interested if there are ways, whether or not the OSCE, the Office of the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, will they be able to help or facilitate so that it would really be another step in democratization of their political process in Uzbekistan. And so we go into this with our eyes open, and the whole matter is that we keep in contact with them and with all people here in order to understand this process and then to be able to ourselves evaluate it.
We know that you've traveled across the country, you speak Uzbek, you speak Russian, and you do like interacting with the ordinary folks. In your view, what does independence mean for the Uzbek people?
Well, you're right, Nabor. I've been able to travel all throughout this Bozol Mamlakat, whether it's to the deserts or to the mountains or the, you know, Fergana Valley or the Ursut Plateau of Karakol, Pakistan, and out into the remote areas. And I've been able to speak with Uzbeks, people, citizens of Uzbekistan, you know, whether they are hakims or whether they are farmers or people that I meet on the street. And even when I'm in Tashkent and I just go out on my own to observe people and talk to people. And I have to say, you know, the changes in Uzbekistan since the days of independence 23 years ago or in the 1990s when I was here, you know, I think that what I people want and they appreciate most of all that they want in their lives are security and predictability. And I think it's in a social sense and largely in an economic sense. And as you know, Uzbekistan is a very strong family system of people associate themselves with the family and their community. And I think it's very important to the people of Uzbekistan is that maintaining that sense of community and stability and security in a world that is changing economically, in the climate that's changing, even the physical climate, it is just that I think people anywhere in the world, but I think here in particular, they feel that perhaps in the years of independence, you know, it's been a difficult to adjust and to transition, and it's a continuing process. But I think people really hope that it will be a peaceful and secure and stable society and country that they are building here.
And I'm sure that's something that you wish for the people of Uzbekistan on behalf of America, right? The strength.
That's right. You know, as I say, men Uzbekistan halkıga bak saadat tinçlik farvanlik ve mustakam sağlık dileman. Americans, when I go back home now before, I wish they would know more about Uzbekistan when I travel around my own country and I tell them where I am working, and many of them I have to show them on the map. But when I explain to them the culture and the history of the country, you mention names like Samarkand and Bukhara, then many more people understand where I'm talking, what I'm talking about. And so I think that if anything, it would be good for, you know, more Americans to travel to Uzbekistan, meet the people of Uzbekistan, because they can then share the enjoyment that I have every day being in this country and experiencing it. I have never found any hostility anywhere that I've been in these 3 years. People are curious about Americans. They don't see many of them. And so when I appear and speak to them, and especially if I can speak a little, they are amazed, and they just open their homes and their hearts, basically, and show a great deal of curiosity about anyone from the United States. So that's been a pleasure too.
Well, that probably means that the Uzbek embassy here in America should be doing a better job in promoting the country, right?
I encourage them to do so, but America is a big country. And, you know, most people in the world, of course, they know something about the United States because our culture is so prevalent. You know, quite an effort for any country, to make it known who they are and what they are. But I certainly encourage that in the United States, and I believe that my counterparts at the embassy of Uzbekistan are understanding that and also trying to expose more Americans to Uzbekistan. I think you also know now before there. The growing population of people from Uzbekistan in the United States, and
oh, yes.
I think there are new restaurants. I think I keep seeing in Philadelphia and Baltimore, even in my home state of New Jersey, I've seen so. Cloth is getting around everywhere.
Yeah, we now have at least 3 Uzbek restaurants in Washington, D.C. area. So the community is growing. And,
That's right. Pretty much all
of them were opened by green card holders, newly arrived Uzbeks.
Right. And I can tell you one part or section of the American embassy that is the most busy is our consular section in the issuance of visas. And, of course, many of them are also family members going to visit family members in the United States. And we are even increasing the size of our consular section to accommodate, you know, the numbers of people that are coming to because they're coming to visit the United States, but also to visit family that's already there.
That's great. We hope to continue these conversations with you, Ambassador Kroll. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck with the nomination. Confirmation, I mean.
Thank you. And now, before I should tell you that if you keep looking on the Facebook page of the American Embassy here, because you will see a video clip for our, of course, the Uzbek National Day that's coming up, and you can see me and my colleagues making traditional Uzbek cloth. Unfortunately, you won't be able to taste it, but I have to say it was pretty good.
So, I am. I'm sure it's tasty.
We're putting the final touches on it. This is our sort of sign of appreciation to our all of our Uzbek colleagues and friends here of celebrating the Independence Day with them, and they can see what kind of cloth I make.
Wow, that's great. Well, I know that the embassy page on Facebook is very popular, and we're all following. So thank you so much, and good luck.
Thank you, Nabahor, and also good luck to you, and thank you for everything you and all of your colleagues at Voice of America do. And it's always been a pleasure to speak with you when I was Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Central Asian Affairs, as well as here as ambassador to Uzbekistan, and I look forward to continuing this contact.
Yes, we look forward to it too. Thank you so much, Ambassador Kroll. Thank you.
Sizge ham khair.